Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Rachel from London, and you're listening to Dane Baptiste Questions Everything. My question is, in a pre- or post-COVID world, would you rather have the neck of a giraffe or the hands of a T-Rex? Okay, here comes the show, and remember, question everything.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Dane Baptiste Questions Everything, live from the London Podcast Festival, a podcast where myself, comedian, writer, and occasional actor Dane Baptiste, my producer friend Howard Cohen, aka The Hizzer,
hello,
and a mix of very special guests pose the questions that need to be asked. And we are talking everything from...
We are talking everything from Rachel from London's question, would you rather have the neck of a giraffe or the arms of a T-Rex?
Now, Rachel, are you here?
No, good.
All right, cool. Well, you guys tell Rachel what I said. But I'm because I need to work out, am I having like a giraffe's neck but still a human body?
Yeah, yeah.
And a T-Rex's arms but still a human body?
Yeah, yeah. It's got to be the giraffe, isn't it? I don't want the arms of a T-Rex.
I mean, if I've still got a human body, proportionally, a T-Rex's arms aren't that crazy.
Yeah.
It just looks like I'm very excited about everything. Like, oh.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, well, that's...
Yeah, and also, I'll be real good at, like, poker.
Yeah.
So that's
you convinced me. There Rachel, it's the arms of the T-Rex. Thanks arms for asking the question. We ask all the questions, every question.
We ask all the questions. And if you enjoy the show, and I hope you do, then please rate and review on Apple Podcasts or follow us on Spotify where you'll never miss an episode. Or subscribe to us on Acast, the world's largest podcast network. Or just show up live to the London Podcast Festival or to a live show. And I'll be equally grateful. So... with that in mind, on today's show, we have two very special guests. First up is a comedian, actor, and writer. She starred in TV comedies such as Motherland and Cuckoo. She is the host of the Hoovering podcast and a regular co-host of the Guilty Feminist podcast. In 2019, she was also nominated for Best Show at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival for her show, Hench. Please welcome to the stage, Miss Jess Fostercue. I want you guys to know that we are very happy that Jess is here, and we did all of the like the elbow bumps backstage. So,
welcome, Jess.
Couldn't do it there.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is nice.
It's nice. There are smiles beneath.
Yeah, I can sense them. Like it's a smiley vibe. Yeah, a
lot of smizing going on. Some good smizing.
Lovely smizing.
That woman is so happy you're here. She is eating that mask in because she's so jovial.
Edible masks. Have they done that yet? Edible masks.
They have, but it's from Love Honey, I imagine.
Yeah, okay. I'm just spitballing. It's fine. Okay.
That's going to happen. Edible masks from Love Honey. Yeah. That'll be a thing. I could definitely see that. A PVC mask.
Welcome to the show, Jess.
Thank you for having me.
How has your life been, AC? I feel like after COVID is kind of the acronym I'm going
DC?
For there.
Yeah.
Oh, God, DC? During COVID?
During COVID,
It's been a really fine mixture. I've got mainly an enormous amount to be very grateful for, I think.
Cool.
Yeah, I have a garden, so that was nice.
That's very nice.
I had things to write to keep working on, so that was nice. Mm-hmm. But also a very, very sexist child that I was trapped with for most of that. So that was less nice, yeah.
Exciting.
That's a shame. Yeah. Is there a re-education scheme going on in your home in order to educate your child?
I've been trying, but actually, sort of weirdly, I just thought, well, I just try and educate him. He's just started school, about a fortnight ago. The more I educate him, the worse the sexism gets. So, unfortunately, I mean, it is in reality all accidental, but it is mad how sexist it sounds. Got him a book about the body, like how the body functions and everything. And you know, he's really into it, he's fascinated by it. But as a result of that, we were eating together the other night, some gherkins or something, and he said, is this tangy food good for you? And I said, yeah, I think so. I think it's, like, good for your gut or something. And he went, well, I hope while you're eating, you're thinking about whether or not it's good for your womb.
Fuck yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. Not even 5 years old.
Jesus Christ.
But he said womb and not belly, which is very advanced.
It is, so well, I suppose, yeah. There's a type of intelligence in there somewhere, I suppose, but...
Yeah, so just...
Yeah, it's roller coaster. Yeah.
It's definitely roller coaster.
Good luck.
It's the only roller coaster now. It's not even
it's the only roller coaster now.
No more roller coasters now, I'm afraid. Unless you go by yourself. But you've been managing, learning stuff. I think there's most people, it's like new skill, new recipe, new exercise regimen is what people observed at the beginning of lockdown.
Been doing all that stuff. I really focused in on... I spent the sort of real belly of lockdown really just focusing in on body hair growth.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And got some huge gains on that front. I grew my armpit hair out for the first time in my life, sort of as an act of feminism, sort of as a, like, let's just try this. It was amazing. Saved off loneliness loads. Always, it was like having a couple of new pets. the major upside of that was I often got all the psychological benefits of having exercised, even when I hadn't exercised, because I always smelt like I'd just exercised. I loved that. I've learnt, it's in the sort of creeping out of lockdown, I love weightlifting and always have, and I really missed it during, it's not, so I didn't have the stuff at home to do that and would be slightly nervous about breaking a floor or something. Like, anyway, I've been able to do
hashtag
that again for the last
problems.
Few months. Hench problems, hashtag hench problems. Yeah. A new gym has opened at the bottom of my road and it's lush and I'm loving it. And I've learnt to do handstands, and I reckon before Christmas I should be able to do a handstand push-up. So that'll be my new skill, and it ticks the exercise box as well.
There you go.
Amazing.
Keep it going. Keep it going. Just
better bring out
everybody, first
Jess.
Of all.
Hey. Lovely to meet you all.
There will be a request for the handstand at the end, so be prepared for that.
Not in these dungarees.
Cool. Well, it leaves us just to introduce our second guest. And so, next up is a writer, comedian and podcaster. He was born in Hong Kong, is fluent in Mandarin, spent his teens in Australia and moved to England at 19 years old. He hosts the QI-derived fact-based comedy podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish, one of the UK's most popular podcasts, and he also co-created and produced BBC Radio 4's highly successful and long-running series, The Museum of Curiosity. Let's hear it for Dan Schreiber.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Dan. How's it hanging?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. Chilling. Podcasting.
Nice. Nice to see
live.
Nice to see everyone. Thanks for coming out.
Everybody. As I said to Jess, you can't see it, but they are very happy and supportive.
Oh, delighted. Yeah,
it's terrifying.
It is.
Yeah, I can't really look at them, if I'm honest with you. It's slightly scary.
Yeah. It looks like a Doctor Who episode, basically.
It does look like a Doctor Who episode. Or it looks to me, it's like a prequel to Batman. It's like the League of Shadows. And then it's like, now it's graduation. And then it's the row full of ninjas. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, thanks, everybody.
I thought you were going to say the prequel to Batman, where he hadn't discovered that it's this bit of his face he should be covering.
Yeah.
before he managed to get the mask right on.
Yeah.
It's got the ears peeping out of his cheek.
Yeah. Love that. Bruce Wayne is terrible.
How's your lockdown been, Dan?
Yeah, it's been pretty insane. I, like you, had a... Had a baby in April on the peak day of the peak week of COVID, April 15th, we had our son in a hospital in Tunbridge Wells, and it was the most interesting and emotional experience I think I've gone through, because of all the jeopardy of the worry of the hospitals, wanting to make sure you don't hurt anyone in the process of going in to have this baby I was allowed to be in. But it was amazing. So that bit's been fantastic. The lockdown itself, I'm someone who loves reading weird facts, and I thought prior to lockdown my wife liked hearing these facts. and that's been one of the biggest things. It turns out I am one of those sort of like, oh, did you know, honey, kind of characters, and she's not built for it. She doesn't like my facts. And I just to get off my chest, I found two today that I was dying to tell her, and I have to hold it in now, so I'll just tell you guys instead. One, I read that the singer Katie Lang refused to meet Meatloaf because she's a vegetarian.
Yeah.
believe it.
Yeah, and he was actually a vegetarian for 10 years of his life, Meatloaf, and he did veganuary this year. Right, right. So he hasn't returned to it yet. So that was the first thing I found out today. Second thing I found out is that the first ever editor of the Encyclopedia Britannica was a man called Willie Smellie. Perfect. And I can't believe that's not the first thing that we all talk about, because obviously the editor's name comes right at the beginning of the book, so how the fuck did we miss that? Yeah, so thank you for letting me get that off my chest.
These are very good facts. I have two facts on the back of that.
Oh yeah,
did you know eating meat in the form of a loaf is probably a bad idea?
True.
I mean, if you're like, another slice of meat please. What for? A sandwich? What? And then, also, did you know that the first editor of the Encyclopedia Britannica's dad was obviously a prick? Willie Smellie, son. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure, doctor. He's going to write an encyclopedia one day.
Dane, it's probably time for a question, isn't it? As the format of this show dictates.
In the format and both time constraints dictate that we will invite our most esteemed guest to ask a question, which we will discuss for about 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And then Howard will ask a question, then another one of our guests will ask a question, then I will ask a question, and then, obviously, for the sake of egalitarianism, I will invite the audience to also ask questions, because we question everything and everyone gets a chance to ask a question. So those of you who are now looking at me with furrowed brows when I can't see your faces, I look forward to that intensity when we start doing the questions from you. We should begin with yourself, Jess, as the first guest on the panel. First of all, I want to thank both of you for taking the time out to support this live show. And therefore, Jess, you now have the floor to ask the first question, please.
Oh, my crumbs. I can't... Right, okay, I'm not sure exactly how to word it.
You sent it to me if you want me to look at it.
Yeah, well, I'll just keep it simple and you can tell me if I've got it completely wrong. But I would like to know the answer to the question, what is the difference between confidence and arrogance?
And what inspired this question, Jess?
I have a lifelong, probably instilled from a mixture of nature and nurture, real issue with arrogance. And I would say an over appreciation or over valuing of humility. I still fundamentally believe that, but I'm also aware that that's had to change as I've got older and more confident. And I think it's very interesting in terms of how opening my eyes a little bit, opening my mind a bit to my firmness on that has had a very positive impact on my career. Saying that, I think there's a generation of people coming through who think that you just need to declare yourself to be a deity and then good shit will come. And I do fundamentally believe that confidence should be earned. But also, I think it's not... I think it's a very complicated question, because it depends on the amount of privilege you came into the world with and or lose gain along the way.
Yeah.
So I just think it's an absolute fucking minefield of a question. So absolutely tip-top to just chuck out of the... chuck out into the world
at the start of a podcast.
Yeah.
With the full confidence that it would be a discussion point.
Yeah.
How arrogant.
But Dan Schreiber, I would say, Dane, you know Dan for a while, right?
Like, yeah.
Confident guy, right?
Well, I would say that I'm pretty confident. I have a... possible theory about the difference. It's probably wrong, but I think possibly the difference is confidence means that you think you deserve to be in the room, the big room where big things are happening. Arrogance is thinking once you're in that room, you're the best person in that room.
Yeah.
And I think it's that one step further that says I'm better than everyone, whereas confidence says you can do this. You don't let them tell you just because you haven't got that qualification or that thing that you're not going to be someone who's able to step into a room and not be heard as if you think you're the right person for it.
Yeah,
I think that's
so. I think something around that, and I'd extend that by saying normally how I would describe confidence and arrogance is like confidence is like asserting your positive attributes or your greatness or what skills you may have. Mm. I think arrogance is doing that at the expense of someone else. So arrogance is almost an assertion of greatness, but it's at someone else's expense or it's comparative. So normally confident people can be like, I can do the job, whereas an arrogant person's like, well, I can do the job unlike everybody else here without knowing who it is. Yeah. So, I mean, that could be one facet of it as well.
That's interesting.
Who's this
it?
New generation? Name names.
Oh, God, it's everywhere. Like, right. It's like properly everywhere. And it's in our language and everything now. Like, if you're like all the... You're kaween. Like, even my idols do it. But, talk about... Loving the way that let's talk about in terms of, I suppose, the way it's spoken about sometimes in terms of body positivity, which I think is like I've 95% only to say thank you for. Do you know what I mean? But there's this 5% element where it's like, oh, actually, I think then you're bringing into the world this idea that we have to love ourselves to the point where, you know, don't get me wrong, like I would get off with Lizzo's feet even after a really long walk in some old trainers. But she says you've got to love yourself to the point where you want to marry yourself. Like, Jesus, that is a lot of self-adoration.
I can't imagine anything worse.
That is too much. I mean, it's literally a Blue Jam sketch, isn't it? Yeah. It's that guy that marries himself. And anyway, it's where the boundaries lie of knowing your worth. But I think it's so interesting. Yeah, it does. I suppose it all comes down to context of competition or comparison are the two things. Yeah, I think there's definitely an element of that.
And I think it's also reactive in terms of... It's like reactive ideology, I think, a lot of times. So, for example, in Lizzo's case, where it does seem to borderline arrogance, and I kind of understand what you're referring to, I think sometimes that is a rebuttal to a more subversive suggestion that if you look or appear to be a certain way that you are considered inferior.
100%. So, and she's someone who has had like such a trivector of unprivileges.
About being an African-American woman, being an African-American who's fat.
Up against it. It's not, I would never say she's arrogant. What I mean is when you're putting out a message to...
More impressionable
women who are going, right, well, okay, I've got to love myself. I think actually it could be more realistic potentially to say it's also fine to find a place of absolute neutrality with yourself where you just don't give that many fucks. You don't actually have to want to adore yourself.
Which I think is the confidence as well. Yeah. And it's the thing where, I guess, as a social species, a lot of our platitudes, they have to be kind of reflective. So you can have all the confidence until you come face to face with someone who might be like, I guess if you compete in your competitive superior, and I guess what happens sometimes is that people compensate for that lack of confidence with more like arrogance.
Yeah.
So it's like it's almost to the point of self-affirmation to the point of delusion. Like I said, it's beyond reproach.
Yeah.
Which really, I guess, in terms of human beings, if you are beyond reproach in terms of your particular state, if you're like, I'm perfect, this state of being I'm in now is perfect, then there's no opportunity for evolution, is there really? So I guess that's where arrogance is almost defining or asserting your greatness, but making it very finite.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm the best, I'm so good, it can't get better than this.
Forgetting that the more you know you've got to know.
Exactly.
But also, I'd argue that it's the damage you're causing to people, right? Mm-hmm. Which I mean, I don't know, am I arrogant? Maybe I am, and I come across it, I just don't know it. You know, but if I do, then I'm probably causing people
shit. Just got awkward.
Yeah. Exactly. Also,
someone told me.
Arrogant people don't say probably Howard. They say definitely.
It's weird to think, right?
Obviously,
because I think some arrogant people. I'm not going to name any, but you know who you are. You're not here necessarily, but you know, I know some arrogant people. And
let's go.
This is live on the internet. I'm not naming that.
I will. I believe that the president is fucking arrogant. That's an example of arrogance to say, example. We have all the best this and all the best this, knowing full well you've been bankrupt 5 times. Let's just keep it fiscal. Just for the sake, because we're streaming. Yeah. Just fiscally speaking, for you to presume that you have superiority when you've had 5 bankruptcies is arrogant. To even assume that you could be in control of a country's budget, knowing full well you've never been able to be successful in business yourself, is arrogance.
Yeah.
So... I think that's an example. Wolf from Gladiators. Really arrogant.
We'll see.
So arrogant, man. Yeah,
right. Tell me about Wolf.
Wolf would like... So it would be like they'd be doing the duel.
Yeah.
And
even if he lost fair and square, he'd still be hitting people with his was it a pugil stick?
Yes.
Yeah.
He'd hit the audience.
He'd be like taking out on the audience and stuff, and it's like that is either misplaced arrogance or steroids or both. Wolf was arrogant.
How about The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, when he was The Rock?
Yeah,
The
Rock was, yeah.
But is he more, or is it confidence?
See, I think that's confidence.
Yeah. I feel like he was confident, but then maybe the Steve Austin era was kind of arrogant.
Who was, sorry?
The Stone Cold Steve Austin part was arrogant. I think he ran somebody over with a limousine, and I was like, that's not legal. Arrogant. And I felt like that was, because obviously wherever is sports entertainment. Wherever you sit on how the level of realism is not for discussion yet, unless you have a question regarding the realism in WWE later on in the podcast.
I think it's a pretty good thing for wrestlers to be arrogant, though, right? That's like a good... Yeah, that's a good place to be like arrogant.
It. Yeah, but the theatre of it.
Well, this is it. Sports is interesting. Yeah. I think you've got other, comedy.
Cristiano Ronaldo is definitely an arrogant person, right?
Without doubt.
I think a lot of people... Hands up if you think Cristiano Ronaldo, the footballer, is arrogant. Some.
So yes. 50-50?
Ooh, quite a lot, yeah.
Just a bit under 50.
Because the thing is, it's like...
He justifies it now.
That's what I'm saying. That's the thing about sports, though, is that it's like there's a lot of quantitative ways you can measure if your narrative is matches what you're saying. So Cristiano Ronaldo is like, isn't he like the first? Not that this is an indicator of his success, but being like the first billionaire footballer, I think like he's had top scoring statistics in like all the leagues he's kind of played in as well. Mm-hmm. Like even some of his humanitarian work and stuff. Like he doesn't have any tattoos because he regularly donates blood and stuff. So for me, it's like. There are some people, or even like Michael, did it obviously lockdown.
You can be arrogant without being a narcissist, though. Like,
that's a good point. Yeah, that's true. Muhammad Ali, I wouldn't say was a narcissist, but I think he was quite arrogant. But then again, it's like.
But that's interesting when you look at it as a sports person, where if you are a sports person, perhaps it's different for Muhammad Ali compared to. Cristiano Ronaldo, in the sense that he plays on a team, especially if you're a solo sports person. How do you have confidence with that arrogance? Because your work, success in your work, necessitates comparison and competition.
I want the audience to know that we are well aware that as comedians that all operate within a solitary medium, we are aware that we've missed ourselves when we discuss.
I slipped it in there.
People can be arrogant sometimes. Yeah. Sports people, what about civil servants? You know, people who make their own ice cream?
Comedians have to be arrogant. To walk into a room and be the funniest person to be, that's the game, isn't it? You have to have a bit of arrogance to walk into the room. Confidence, justified confidence, maybe we'll call it that.
My question is, what is the difference between the two things? With comedy, I think sometimes it boils down to... is it earned? the philosophy of, which is not just exclusive to comedy but to all sorts of things now, of like fake it till you make it. I don't know, actually, like I wonder if we could rein that back and be a bit more like, no, work really hard and earn it. and then when you're good, you can have a bit of swagger.
This is the problem, is I think that's always been a should have been a key maxim within our society. But I think in upper echelons of society, we've proven to everybody else that arrogance is positively rewarded, whether you're qualified for the job or not. Because, there's so many systems, whether it's because of plutocracy or nepotism, as I said, historically, there were a lot of boons to you actually being, having earned arrogance or earned confidence, because it's like you've now earned that position. So you're probably able to maintain it by that merit. Whereas it's like, you can look at most of the leaders of the Western world now, and to now tell even a cisgender, heterosexual, young white male, go to school and work hard to get a good job, he could easily be like, why? The people in charge of these countries have never worked hard, are not that good at their jobs.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be able to, but still do it in a very arrogant fashion. You wouldn't have to be like, now you don't really have any kind of moral standpoint to encourage.
Meritocracy.
Just back to stand-up comedy a second. There's a thing years ago, Jerry Seinfeld made a documentary called Comedian, and in it, the premise of it was Seinfeld ended. Everyone knew his material from the top and tail of the show. He was going to throw it away and start a whole new set. And he, which is to a lot of comedians, when I wasn't doing stand-up, was the most hilarious premise, because he pitched it as like, like, I'm doing the craziest thing ever. I'm getting rid of material. It's like, mate, Edinburgh every year is new material. Yeah. It's a whole new show, not 20 years of material. But Seinfeld talks about the fact, and you follow him. If you've not seen it, fascinating documentary, because this is the guy, you could not be more famous than Jerry Seinfeld in the comedy world when he decided to do this. And he goes on stage, and you watch him, and they add it, they include it in the doc. He bombs on stage. He gets heckled, and he can't respond to the heckle. He's so thrown. And he's talking to one of his friends afterwards, and he's saying, the thing about the fame thing with comedy buys you 5 minutes on stage. But if you're not funny, that's it. That's you know, your confidence and arrogance that I'm Jerry Seinfeld can be there. And I think he's not arrogant for that reason, that he knows that that's the reality. A lot of comedians argue that actually it does buy you more than 5 minutes. It could buy you an hour, but that's in Jerry's head that's what it is. And I find that, I personally find it fascinating because another documentary I was watching just last night on Lenny Bruce. Lenny Bruce, if you don't know him, most people do, but if you don't, he was effectively the first real stand-up comedian. He broke away from the room of writers who were doing stuff for people, and he talked about real life, and he said swear words, and he got arrested, and he went to court to fight these prosecutions, and he died because the system nailed him and didn't allow him to continue. And Lenny Bruce created a thing where there was a whole generation, and still to this day, of people who think they have this really solid voice, but and that means they're going to be a great comedian who can just go on stage and say what they think about the truths of the world. And what they don't know is that Lenny Bruce spent 15 or 10 years in that bracket, roughly, doing shit jokes on stage, crafting jokes, understanding joke writing. And then when he transformed into that person, he became a great comedian, and he was able to put jokes into the messages. And a lot of people think, oh, I don't need that 10 years. I can just go and be that person. And I think I was guilty of it as well with stand-up.
I think most stand-ups are absolutely. At some point, about 3 years
in. My third gig, I was the Chris Rock of the UK.
Yeah.
I was brought swiftly back down to earth.
It's the bitterest pill to swallow, isn't it, at the start of your comedy career? Like, and you do get given that pill again and again, year on year, again.
It's like a shot. You're still kind of rich. It's not like the first time you do it.
Yeah.
But you're like, ugh, okay. Still sweat thinking about that last bomb. And I feel maybe that's the issue, is that it's an element of dialogue nowadays that we've kind of removed. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're trying, people like know bad energy and people avoiding negative energy and even kind of negative feedback.
Yeah.
I think we just, there's a lot more, I guess, because individualism is encouraged so much more nowadays. Yeah. It's like people only have to consider themselves. And I think there's an interdependence when you are a comic or in any field that requires you to have the support of your peers or either your peers or your audience that are supporting your patrons of your art form, and all of that interaction, all these stakeholders can help build your confidence. And whereas I think now, because so much more entertainment is so much more isolated, people don't have to be humbled by the direct feedback. Like if you perform on social media, you might have people write stuff and comments, but you can turn your comments off. And so any criticism.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Won't be vocalized, so you don't have to be aware of it. So you can be, I guess arrogance is confidence with the added gift of obliviousness to an extent.
Yeah. Mm.
So
that's a good answer. And it was a great question. Let's hear it for Jess and her question.
Great question.
Hell of a question, right? Tough one. And quite serious, and but made me think. I've got a question now that is definitely not serious. Is that okay? Everyone happy with that?
Yeah.
I'm livid.
It kind of relates around, you know, Dan, you got the 5-month-old.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've got the 4-month-old kid. He's at home watching. He doesn't understand anything, but hello, Dylan and my wife, Tara, if you're watching, hello. Dan, right, the kid has no understanding of his bowel movements, right? Which is a weird thing, right? Because you'll just be sitting there with this guy and he's quite pleasant and he just breaks wind constantly, right? Does your kid do this?
Yeah, of course, yeah. It's
That's not just the only question. There's more to it than that.
Right.
that would have been 15 minutes on that.
No. Where do babies come from and what are they from?
but the thing that I was thinking about, I was sitting there with my mum last night and in a lovely tender moment, he just drops this big stink, you know, and he's just like, he's just farting for fun, basically. But he doesn't know he's doing it. He's got no consciousness about it. It made me think, why are we so conscious about all our bodily functions? You know, it's such a weird thing. You know, we've all done it, right?
Well, not since I've been on stage.
Why are we all so self-conscious about our body? There's just things, burps, farts, you know, everything else. It's just, why?
Well, I wouldn't have a crap on stage right now purely out of... it just doesn't feel... right.
It's and not also, the show. Yeah.
But also, it does. Here's the thing that you will notice about
that.
David.
As in, like, it's not quite ready yet.
Yeah, it's not cooked.
Feel
still cooking.
Yeah.
It'd be a half hearted one. It wouldn't
Somebody
be
bring him a
what
coffee.
What I'm truly capable of.
We would
not
get
for
a lot of headlines,
show.
To be fair, Dan, if you did. But yeah.
No, I think there's a few, like, you'll notice with your baby that the smell is very pungent.
Oh,
and it's not a nice
God,
atmosphere
yeah.
to live in, a pungent, smelly poo room. Like, that's not nice.
Aw, Dad.
But it is interesting. Like, my son, I have two kids. I have a boy, Wilf, who's turning 3 on Tuesday. And
cool. Happy birthday.
Yeah, thanks. He doesn't understand it, but thanks. And he had an amazing journey of, and Jess, you've got kids as well. So he had this incredible journey where he really struggled to get poo out. It was a real kind of like he had to sit and he would take himself away to do it, and it became our favorite thing because it was such a weird intimate thing to be allowed into. If he sort of would lock eyes with you as he's hiding sort of like, and he's like, just keep looking at me, help me through this, but don't hold my hand, I need to be at a distance. But he started developing this thing which was the most enjoyable thing. If we'd go to restaurants, he was a bum shuffler. It took a long time for him to walk. He walked on his second birthday, so up until then he was on his bum shuffling around. And we'd be in restaurants or bars, and he would shuffle around to people. It'd be really nice. And my wife and I would always love this moment where he would suddenly grip onto the leg of someone who was sitting at a bar stool or at their table, and we'd go, oh, man, all right, here we go. And Wilf would grab, and they'd look down and go, hi, and he'd be looking at them, and he'd go, and this person is like, and we'd have to go, so sorry, he's just, and but there's nothing you can do. And they understood that. Some of them are parents, and they just had to have a little boy grab their leg as they shit next to them. And that, for us, I don't know, weirdly, the poo thing is such an enjoyable process of watching them grow up. Right. I don't know why, it just is. All the little weird things are the best things, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, my son has got like a... he's got like a purple stripe on his forehead. It's not there. And then when he's stressed or having a shit, it's like perfect oblong purple there. But it is the eye lock of like, and I'll be honest, that I am glad, 100% glad that we sort of socialize culturally ourselves out of locking eyes with a loved one.
Yeah.
It would be the death of romance, wouldn't it, for a start?
Yeah. All the heights of it.
Okie dokie, Dane.
I love every aspect of you. I'm in this with you.
but breaking wind, farting, whatever you want to, you know, call it. Like, it's such a, like, it really is embarrassing, right? I mean, if one of us did it now, it'd be like a big, it'd be a real moment, wouldn't it?
It depends what kind of festival you were at, Howard. Yeah. The London Fart Festival, you'd bring the place down.
You know, and sometimes I'm in another room.
Do you
room.
Get a free mug at that one?
I mean, you don't, but it's real socially distant there.
Yes. Sometimes, no, Dane. I'm in another room to my wife, Tara. Hello, and you know, I want to break wind. You know, and I don't want to. It's just going to happen. I'm not actively seeking it, obviously. And then it happens, and I can hear her kind of making a comment from the room next door, and it's like, well, really? I mean, what do you want me to do?
What kind of comment?
Like,
Drink more water, Howard.
Oh, is that help?
I heard that.
Yeah, I heard that.
or is it?
Yes.
Because that's a fine comment, I think. Even if someone's gone to another room, it's like,
she never
heard
laughs.
It, heard that. Yeah. Sounded like clapping, that one.
Do you know what? I do remember a kid who used at school called Andrew Coss. I'll name him. I've never seen him again since primary
Poor
school.
Andrew.
I'm naming him directly. And he used. I used to went around his house twice, and he had all the good toys down. You know the kid I'm talking about. And he would fart, and it would smell really, really bad. And then he'd laugh because he knew that you didn't like the smell.
Now, is that a is the issue there his vulgarity or his diet at home?
Because
if he's got all the toys, I imagine that he's not told no very often.
No.
So. All in that gut.
He had one of those big, you know, jars of sweets that was always full every time you went over there. You know,
well, there you go. And there you go. And you just get a waft of it in your face when he feels like it. It's. I think the thing about
I feel horrified when it happens to me. I don't know. There's right. So I get really upset if I.
If you do it or if it's done to you.
I don't care. You can do whatever, Dane. Anytime you want to do it, in my feel free. But like for me to do it in front of you, I'd be ashamed.
Do you know what a fart is? I only found this out recently.
Tell us exactly what fart
it's pretty,
is.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to get the details of this wrong, but it's basically, it's the bacteria.
Is it a dead joke?
No.
It's a dead joke.
Because I think I'm worried what it is. If it is what I think it is.
It's what the bacteria inside you is farting. The living bacteria inside you is farting, and it builds up and builds up and builds up and amasses, and eventually that explodes out of you. Basically, you're farting a whole colony of other farts that have sort of joined into one sonic ball. It's like that bit in Star Wars with the Death Star when it beams up, you know, when it goes roar and then sends the shot out. That's our anuses, basically. And inside is... I didn't know that until recently. I think that's probably not 100%
how
true.
And what happens if you trap it in then? What happens if you don't let it out?
Well, sometimes you can fart out your mouth, which is a weird thing.
What?
No. Yeah, it gets into your lungs and it can come out
is that
the other side.
Why your breath smells in the morning? Because you've not been farting in the night.
Who's not
I
been
thought there was something in
farting?
That.
Why are you not farting in the night and then breathing? Why would you not fart in the night?
Sorry, I don't know what I'm doing in the night, do I? That's annoying.
True. I'd have thought that would be a safe space, is the old bedroom for, you know, various Dutch ovens around the country.
Yeah.
There's a cool thing as well, which I was actually just Googling it down just now. I'm sorry if it looked rude. But do you guys know this about the Backstreet Boys song, The Call? There's a song, The Call.
Yes.
Howie from the Backstreet Boys was in the studio recording his vocal, and he had a big fit of farts. And the sort of timbre of the fart was so nice that the producer sampled it, and it's in the song.
What?
Yeah. There's a Backstreet Boys song which has a bass beat, which is Howie's fart on repeat.
Whoa!
Yeah. And did he get royalties for that, I assume, or not?
Yeah, well, his anus. I don't know.
Yeah, it's an extra vocalist.
A lot of Backstreet Boys songs do kind of sound like a fart, because if you know the song, I'm just saying, Rock Your Body Right, it goes, brum, 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 brum. Hey, yeah.
I love the idea it's an extra vocalist. Again. When you see them come on stage, there's one extra mic, which is just down there. Look wonderful.
The falsetto.
And there's a problem, guys. Some people want a bigger cut. I'm holding this tune together.
Separate dressing rooms, everything is going to be good. Dane, we spent a lot of time together. This is the 78,000th hour we've done this podcast together. Yeah. I've never heard you drop anything.
I don't really fart.
No. Yes, you, what?
I don't really. As in, like, I don't
They're
have.
They're shaking
a,
their heads at you.
I know, but I don't have a day habit. But then I am somebody that, like, every time I eat, I almost immediately within an hour will go to the toilet.
Right.
Right.
So my metabolism kind of works that way. Because a lot of time with farting, farting's almost like your body whispering to you, you need to use the toilet.
Right.
So I already.
Is it always so?
It's not the noise it makes for me.
Not necessarily always, but always. A lot of times.
Sometimes sounds like psst.
Yes.
It's China. Yeah.
Hey, open your mouth. I just think, for me, I don't know, it's just for me where it's like, I also don't drink, I guess a lot of stuff that causes flatulence, like I don't really drink a lot of like beer and carbonated stuff, but
really?
But yeah, I just found, because I just go to the toilet every time I eat.
Dan and I've got beer in our mugs.
I just don't really, and I think, yeah, and like Howard said, I think, and it's also a lot of element of shame there.
Right,
the idea of like breaking wind in front of somebody's anathema, where it's just weird because my dad, you can hear him from downstairs.
Well, this is it.
My parents have been married for like 40 years. Wow. And you can hear it from echoes. I was in a relationship once where my girlfriend at the time had an ensuite, and I went to the bathroom, and then I guess she was holding something the whole night because she almost brought the whole room down. And I mean, like I said, I don't really break wind in front of people, but I do find it fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Because I felt like, she'd obviously told herself, okay, he's gone. Let me just try and do this before he gets back. Kapow! Kapow! And I was like, what the fuck is happening in there? And I came back, and I was like,
Came back,
and she was kind of looking like, morning, baby, doing that. And I was like, yeah, windy today, isn't it? She's like, yeah! it's by far, it was the loudest fart of our entire relationship.
And wow.
Done by anybody.
From either of you, yeah.
From either
well,
of
us. Well, there's another element of it, though, I think, is it's like particularly unladylike, isn't it, to do like big loud farts. But, and I also am like, I'd be like, oh God, I'd be mortified. Mm. And but my partner is a woman and she is way less mortified than me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's freeing and I'm envious and I don't know why I'm so kind of like, I think it's different to be like, guys, come around and sniff this. But there's a difference between that and being like, oh, well, I'm going to do a fart. I'm going to go over here. I've got female mates. My nana was like it. Had a little, beautiful little sparrow of a nana, but she'd be constantly like, honk, beep, honk, beep. And she'd be like, oh, it's a cat. I think that's the cat. Whatever. Like, yeah. She was so cute.
My mum does the same thing. As women sometimes arrive at the autumn of their life.
Yeah.
I think all of the, because of patriarchy, all the farts they've had to store up.
Yeah.
Keeping up appearances amongst men and having to uphold this standard of like femininity. And it's like, do you know what? I've given my life to the game.
Have an orchestra.
All the long-term relationships I've been in, my girlfriends have always broken wind much more often than I have. And to be honest, like, I want to make sure I don't identify this as some kind of fetish. I don't mind it. Like, but yeah, the sound is fine. I'm more the scent.
Smell's a problem. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Smell's a problem. Sound is fine. Like, my other ex, like, she used to break wind in her sleep all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And then pretend it was like a nightmare. And then we had to do this whole thing where she'd be like, oh no. And I'd have to be like, yeah, it's okay, baby, good sleep. I didn't hear it. Or she'd like, scratch me in the night. And it'd be like, oh, I had a night terror. And I'd be like, yeah, that's what it was.
To be fair to farts,
yeah. Have you ever farted yourself awake though? Because that is frightening. That is frightening when it's like, whoa, oh, I'd instinctively be like, quick, think of a lie.
I think that's the, because you know what it is, if you wake yourself up with a fart, obviously the first phrase, okay. If there's covers and I'm like, oh no.
Oh, it's okay.
Not too bad. All right. That's cool.
My son is terrified of his farts. He doesn't have no idea what's. You had this, Dan, where it's like actual fear. Like, oh, what's happening to me? Like,
no.
He does one, and then he's like, oh God, what's happening to my body? Which is, obviously quite frightening for the boy. But
yeah.
There's not much he can do about that, really, is there?
No, there's not. I think just with what I was saying before, if anyone here has had a kid or watching at home has had a kid, it's the most fascinating thing just watching the tiniest of details as their brain makes connections and as they like, so hence the pooing thing of just like you're so proud. It's like, oh man, I'm so proud that you got that out of you, like, because that was hard and you didn't understand what was happening to you there. And as you say, like, they get scared and eventually they'll build confidence, and it's and just the tiniest things, watching them look at their hands or watching them laugh for the first time at peekaboo, it's like, oh man, what a journey I'm being allowed to view here. It's like viewing what you went through but in real time. You're like, oh, I get to see this now. Wow, this
is fascinating.
And
I think with a brand new baby as well, like, I remember with my son thinking, oh God, maybe this is too weird, but thinking, you are a perfect instrument. Like, you haven't been scuffed or sullied by anything in life. Even your bum hole is perfect.
Yeah.
What I mean? You're brand new. This is brand new. But also, in line with what you were saying, is like, you can watch them try, like, with a baby, it feels like they must get similar amounts of air in them to an adult. So the torture, the pain that they experience until it's out, and the relief
when you're burping them and stuff, you realize the importance of it. It's weird how flatulence underscores like declarations of love. Because it's like I said, it's like when someone farts in front of you, and it's like, I feel comfortable around you now.
Yep.
Well, you have a funny way of showing it.
Yeah. Well, it's their second vocalist.
Yeah.
I think we've all got to know each other better through talking about our farts. I feel emotionally attached to you all. So thanks for listening to my question, guys.
That was part one of our live show at the London Podcast Festival 2020. Come back next week for part two.
You've been listening to Dane Baptiste Questions Everything, hosted by Dane Baptiste. For more from Dane, go to danebaptiste.co.uk or follow him on Twitter at DaneBapTweets or Instagram
at DaneSnapTeast.
Our guests were Jess Fostercue and Dan Schreiber. You can follow Jess on Twitter and Instagram at Jessica Fostercue. You can follow Dan on Twitter and Instagram at Schreiberland. The show is produced by me, Howard Cohen. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Howard Cohen. The show is mixed and mastered by Audio Culture. You can follow Audio Culture on Instagram at We Are Audio Culture. Please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to us. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at DBQE Podcast. Thanks to Polly, Gelly, and the Acast team for all their support. Thanks for listening, guys, and remember, question everything.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.